Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Brian Piro or whatever he calls it.
Okay.
With probably the only name that you might, well, I don't know who he'll actually bring in, but it's basically all local people. Delmi Exo, friend of the program. Yeah. Interviewed her one time.
Was it Delmi? Yeah, it was Delmi, not the other one. Not Ashley Vaught.
No, it was both of them. We entered both of them. They were both on that show. We interviewed both Delmi and Ashley, I remember.
Right, but only one was actually the guest. Delmi was the actual guest, and then Ashley just kind of popped in.
I don't remember how it went. I do remember both of them being on the show. But
remember when we did?
Yeah, because
that was a long time ago.
Yeah, Delmi and Rip Bison actually just got married last weekend.
I think I saw something about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I remember him when he was Tomahawk.
Oh, same guy?
Yeah.
Because I remember you telling me about Tomahawk. He was in a tag team. They broke up. This was all PvP stuff, right?
Yeah. And then he owns Grind Puro.
Oh, good for him.
And they do a lot of the same. I mean, they use a lot of the same talent. That's but because, you know, support, local indies and all that.
Hashtag support local wrestling. Support indie wrestling. Yep. Support local indie wrestling.
October 25th.
Okay.
Be my... the Saturday show.
2 weeks before ICW Long Live the King, because we're recording. And listen, I'll shill it now and then we can talk wrestling, right? If you're on the fence, if you're listening in your local or you're in a neighboring state of Arizona and you're like, God, I've been hearing them talk about the show, I might want to go. I've been in communication with the venue. They've literally given me specs on, like, down to the feet and inches on the venue so I can figure out exactly how many chairs we can pack into this place, because we are we sold way more tickets than we had than our biggest ever show, and so we're trying to figure out when I have to cut off ticket sales, basically. So if you're thinking about me, and I, you know, and I'm like, oh yeah, we're doing okay, blah blah blah, then on Sunday, like a rush of ticket orders comes through. Like, it's just the craziest thing that happens. And it's like, oh geez, now I really got to figure this out. So by the end of the week, I'll kind of know where we truly stand and how many I got before I can cut it off. So,
nice.
We have some outside ticketing partners that we also work with. And so depending on what they come in at, could mean we open up tickets last minute, who knows, but that's, you know, 25 days away. So that's also the other crazy part. It's 25 days away that we have Samoa Joe making his first independent wrestling appearance in over a decade. So you want to be there. You want to be there to see.
I do want to be there.
Yeah.
Patrick
O'Dowd does want to be there and cannot be. But no, if you are on the fence, if you're local, if you're nearby, if you're in Nevada, maybe California, New Mexico, even Texas, you know, come on down. Enjoy the event. Have a good time. We do have people coming in from Texas. We do have people coming from California. Like I've got, I think the furthest anyone's driving that I know of is 14 hours. So,
that's quite a haul to make it to a show for you. You know,
he comes to many of them. He's like, he's only missed one since his first one. And then we also have, somebody flying in from the East Coast to see the event as well. So, yeah, dude, and that's not the first time that's happened.
So I gotta ask this question. I think I've asked this before.
Okay.
So I'll ask this because you've always had an affinity for Samoa Joe.
Of course, I
for
have.
As long as
you
I've
know, you know,
for
Samoa
as long
Joe
as I've known you
is my mentor. Anyway, that's Jay Lethal.
Yes,
never mind. I'm wrong.
It is Jay Lethal. Well, it was Jay Lethal many moons ago. So I know it's real in the sense that, like, the arrangements have been made.
Of course,
Joe is definitely coming.
Flights are booked. Hotels are booked. Oh yeah, it's all
flights. But is the reality of the fact that like you get to book Samoa Joe on some level, whether you're booking any level of this at all, other than shaking his hand and saying, what do you want to do? Or you and Steve figure, or I'm sorry, you and Warrior now have figured out. At what point would it like, would you have geeked out if you haven't geeked out yet at the fact that like Joe's coming to work your show? And is it real yet for you?
It's real. Because, you know, as the guy who makes all the social media posts, like I can't tell you how many Samoa Joe graphics I've made and posted. So sure, that's sure, sure. Definitely like not a fantasy world. When you have conversations like, are we doing entrance videos and Joe's flight's booked now and we got his hotel booked and this is what time he comes in, like that definitely makes it real. Because we've already had Nick Nemeth and we had Martin Casals was the first quote unquote name that we had. Our second ever show, Dan Severn was there. Like we've always just had luck and connection, and it's always been so, you know, it's half the world will call it lucky, half the world will call it hashtag blessed, whatever you want to call it. We've always had that, thanks to the old school IZW aspect of what we do. So having had Nick Nemeth, Martin Casals, Frankie Kazarian, Justin Roberts multiple times. Dance.
But you've been, I guess, but my thing is like, yes. And it's Joe. Like we met yes. this dude. We did meet this dude at a McDonald's once. And I shook his hand because you did. But
I shook his hand and talked to him and he had like 3 value meals on his tray. Yeah, I remember.
Well, he is a sizable guy.
He is a sizable guy. And it was, you know, and yeah, I talked to Christopher Daniels. I talked to everybody that day. You didn't.
I did. Did you warn him about flash pins? Did you give him that advice?
No, I didn't. Because if the Navajo Warrior,
he's susceptible to the flash pin.
I'll tell the Navajo Warrior about Samoa Joe being susceptible to the flash pin. And then maybe he can.
I mean, he's a wily vet. He might know that already.
He probably has him well scouted. I mean,
Greg has the scout, though.
Like. Right. Yes. Yeah, we'll definitely see. As I sneeze, but not in the ear of the listener. It's oddly not like it is real. I mean, I will like to sound like a quote unquote mark or whatever. When Nick Nemeth was there, it was like, when's Nick going to get here? Blah, blah, blah. I know he's going to be early, everything else. Once I met Nick Nemeth, all that was out the window.
Right.
Because the more quote unquote famous people, the more whatever people you meet, it's like just a regular dude. You know, like really it's just a regular dude who happens to have made it like Kazarian. Like when I chatted with Kazarian and I was just like, dude's only like an inch taller than me. I'm like, what? I didn't expect that. You know, so just little things like that, you know, because there's ways that wrestlers can appear taller. So yes, Joe will be cool. And I'm excited about meeting Samoa Joe. And I will be the same as I was to Nick Nemeth. Grateful. Anytime that somebody with any modicum of experience shows up, I ask them ahead of time. They always have a format, even if they don't need one. I ask them, you know, hey, if you ever have any feedback, if you ever have whatever, I would love to get it. No one's ever given it to me except for Gabe Sapolsky. And he was kind of the first one, right? The first of those, like right. Meeting Gabe Sapolsky. That was a bigger deal too. And of course he shows up and he's the definition of regular guy. And so yeah, that bubble has been popped a long time ago. And so now it's just,
will you get a photo with Samoa Joe?
If I do, it'll be the first of any of these people that I've gotten a photo with. I'm not a photo.
That's why I asked. I know. That's why I asked. Cause I figured if there was one, Joe would be one you would consider.
And now I would like to say, yeah, I would consider getting a photo with Samoa Joe, but you know, better than anybody other than people who have worked our events, what my day is actually like on that day. And I may not think about that until 12 noon on Sunday and Samoa Joe's long gone. So that's a possibility as well. As I hear Patrick O'Dowd and didn't see him. Oh, he's back. So as he face palms.
I'm gonna turn my camera off.
You can't turn your camera off. That just doesn't work as well. That's not going to work for me, brother. So anyway, Samoa Joe I'm excited. But here's the deal for you listening out there. If you're even considering doing this, Go to IZWTix.com and pick up your tickets, because by the end of the week, I'm going to know exactly how many more spots I have left and what we can do. And then once it's sold out, that might be it until like day of show. So it's, we'll sell standing room only. We will. And we'll allow people to get those, and they will be hopeful for getting a spot and whatever. But yeah, that's what we're looking at. So what I'm not looking at is Patrick Adout's face, because he has gone dark.
But I've got bars now. Like, turn the camera off, and all of a sudden,
here's the problem. When you go dark, I don't know if you're frozen or not. Like, I have no way of knowing now, because
that's true. And I also can make faces at you and you don't know.
Yeah, but I don't care about that. So that's, you know, that's,
I mean, you care a little.
No, I really don't. Like I said, that bubble's also been popped. So
yeah, okay. Well, I'll just keep flipping you off this whole show then.
That's totally fine. That's totally fine.
Just in my eyebrows.
I am perfection. Yeah. Perfection. I am perfection. So take your best shot. Give it all you got.
All right. Enough sound bites for now. So yeah, hopefully I've done a good job of telling you to come see IZW. Long live the king. You also get to witness a retirement, which how often do we get to see those things live and in person? You get to see how much people love this man in the Navajo Warrior. You've got a Loser Leaves Town match. You've got a heavyweight title match. You've got a tag team title match. You've got so much more. So an over-the-top rope battle, good old-fashioned over-the-top rope battle royal. So there's a lot of great things on this event. An all-star six-woman tag team match. 8 matches in total on the main card, plus our VIP card, which has long been sold out since like the Tuesday after the last show. So, yeah, IZWTix.com. Come check it out. You won't regret it. I promise you that. And if you do, keep that to yourself. No, I'm just kidding. I'll take feedback. I'll take information. I'm not giving you a refund if you don't like it, but it's $20 for a ticket. We're not talking about a Taylor Swift concert or an NFL game or even WWE tickets, which are like in the thousands now for many, many people in many seats. So how much were your tickets, Patrick O'Dowd, if you don't mind sharing? When you went and saw Raw at Springfield with 8,000 of your, or 5,000 of your closest friends, however many.
I was like, 5,000? That might even be generous. It was,
I think the Springfield crowd was like 7 or something like that. Like, I kind of,
so we sat in the quote unquote nosebleed, such as it is, of that small arena.
That place doesn't have nosebleeds.
It does not. It has, slight atmospheric changes. It was $64 for a seat, and that was all with fees and everything. I at the time didn't know what my buddy's budget was. I was trying to buy the tickets as you watch the dots disappear on Ticketmaster. Mm-hmm. So clicked up the best of what I thought he'd be willing to pay, because he's not a big wrestling guy. Turns out he would have paid a little bit more to be a little bit closer, but it, at the end of the day, it was not the end of the world. And we certainly had a good time for our, it was $50 was the sticker price before fees. Plus
that's like, so everyone that complains about these crazy ticket prices for WWE, and you got tickets for under $100.
Right. Because what everybody does when they show those astronomical fees, and that's not to say that you're going to find $50 tickets to see WrestleMania. Right.
No, kids. No.
Like that's not how it works. But when you see people posting the floor seat prices,
right?
Like that, yes, that's expensive, and it takes.
I bet the floor seat prices for your Raw in Springfield were $2,000 for those first couple of rows. I bet they were.
Yeah, I didn't even look. Yeah. Didn't care.
No, why would you?
But was not shopping there. So,
no, it's totally fine. But, and again, if you pay close attention to Raw or SmackDown and you look at the seats that, you know, the floor section right in front of the hard cam, it's half empty. And it's not half empty because nobody buys it. It's because they hold those back for like celebrities and families and whatever. And so those seats aren't even really sold. And they just use them for different purposes because they're rarely ever on TV. So it's still a television.
No, sinking ship, Greg. Sinking ship.
Right.
It's,
I have a sinking ship comment or conversation to have later on during this program too, by the way. So we are now 15 okay. minutes into the program. So we're going to go ahead and start the show. And we've got some things to talk about in the world of pro wrestling, some things to comment on and get some opinions on.
Guess what I did?
What'd you do?
I watched a Monday Night Raw.
Game. Hell yeah. Good. Cause I want to talk about it. So let's start the show and talk about it.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's Pastoral Down.
The straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brandon Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And break the morning.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
We are back. We're not even live. We are back here on the Greg DeMarco Show. Greg DeMarco, Patrick O'Dowd, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, thechairshot.com. We appreciate you, of course, listening, being a part of the fun of all the shows here at the ChairShot Radio Network. Go ahead and give them a listen. Support all the podcasts. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/ChairShot. Pick up one of those beautiful ChairShot t-shirts. And of course, go follow at ChairShot Media for all things pro wrestling. It's sports. It's entertainment. It's sports entertainment. It's
thechairshot.com. Thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
So Patrick O'Dowd commented before we went live that he watched Raw. I watched Raw too. And I think we can go ahead and start there, even though there was the crown jewel PLE on 2 days before, which of course I have not seen yet, but features the very much talked about John Cena versus AJ Styles match where everybody and their finisher were acknowledged during the match itself. Of course, whenever you say acknowledge, you have to then acknowledge.
Acknowledge me.
That's not really a thing. If we say acknowledge again, we don't have to acknowledge.
Acknowledge me.
But I did just acknowledge right there because, you know, far be it for me to let a good gag go underused.
Right.
Acknowledge me.
Why would you not acknowledge? I mean, it's kind of the way it works.
Exactly. No pop.
Okay. So fast forwarding to Monday Night Raw. Of course, Raw was Australia this past Monday. So Raw for me aired at 5 a.m. in the morning. I didn't get up to watch Raw. However, spoilers were inevitable. Right. Especially right now, like we talked about, it's hard for me to lay off the social media when I do have this big mega event coming up in less than 4 weeks. So spoilers were unavoidable. So I knew that the Vision turned on Seth freaking Rollins long before I saw the Vision turn on Seth freaking Rollins. Did you also know that this happened long before you saw it?
Yes, because I had plans on Columbus Day.
Right.
Indigenous People's Day, whatever the hell you want to call it, day. And so was not, I think Raw was airing at like 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And that was the other thing. I forgot it was still in Australia too. So like part of it was, I forgot. Part of it was, I was doing valuable things like tag sailing, because that's what you do in Massachusetts on this day.
I remember that being a thing. So I had plans as well. They were called work because I didn't have off on Monday. And a lot of people that I work with, almost all of our clients were working as well. So I saw Raw got spoiled and whatever. So let me ask you this. When you saw the spoilage of Raw, not Raw itself, but when you had the results spoiled for you that the Vision had turned on Seth freaking Rollins, before seeing it take place, what were your thoughts?
Well, I was like, huh? And then I was like, actually, if you kind of look back a little bit, there are some places where you could see that it was being laid out even before Monday Night Raw. At least before I saw the actual turn, what I thought the turn was. Because that was the thing, is I didn't see the context of what happened there, where it was Braun being like, you're either with me or you're not. And he does that with,
I didn't ask what you saw. Here's
why I'm explaining this, because I was like, because I thought back to when Seth Rollins goes back after Cody, mm-hmm. and Heyman stops Bronson and Braun from rushing him. And so in my mind, it was like, oh, did Heyman with Braun, Braun Breaker and Bronson Reed, like, was this setting Seth up even back then? And then I watched what happened. So, like,
right.
When I heard about it and then saw the clip of it, which again is just the clip of the turn, like, there's nothing else afterwards. Like, I thought that Heyman had a bigger hand in it than right. what it really sort of showed out to be. That was where I was going.
Because I didn't see a clip. I saw a picture of the Bronze and Heyman standing over a fallen Rollins with Braun Breaker holding up the championship belt.
Right. Now, I didn't see that part. I saw the WWE social media clip.
Yeah.
Was just of like the spirit of what just happened.
Right.
Sort of thing.
Yeah. I didn't see any of that. And it's interesting because the internet would have you believe that this was a last minute change because of an injury to Seth Rollins. But here's the thing. I saw I had it spoiled for me via pictures on social media, and I was immediately like, wow, that seems a bit too soon. Like, that was my initial reaction. I always assumed this was going to happen. I think everybody assumed this was going to happen at some point. Or they would turn on Bronson, some split between Seth Rollins and Braun Breaker. Like, when I say Bronson, I meant Braun. I thought maybe this would happen a year from now, or it was like a Raw after Mania move. I didn't even think it was going to be a Batista wins the Royal Rumble and then they turn on him move. Of course, Triple H would book that, right? Like, it makes perfect sense. Like, that's the angle that he used with Batista back in the day. But I didn't even expect that. Like, I expected this to happen after WrestleMania 42 is when I expected this to happen. And so I thought it was dumb. I thought it was way too soon, whatever. Injury notwithstanding, I saw the injury, potential injury news later. Of course, no one believes any injury news about Seth Rollins now because of what happened at SummerSlam. Whether or not they would do that again, that would be kind of crazy if they did. But that's where we are. I thought it was way too soon. I also saw that CM Punk was once again number one contender. And I was like, okay, geez, we're still doing Rollins and Punk because that's not getting old. And that's where we were. So now, Patrick O'Dowd, fast forward, you're watching Raw, you're watching the opening promo, you're watching the ending segment, already knowing what's going to happen. What were your thoughts then?
Knowing ahead of time what the end of the show was going to be, I don't know, maybe I'm just arrogant and feel like I've watched a lot of wrestling.
Yeah.
But, like, the opening promo that Seth gives where he's talking about he could have done this without, he didn't need any of the three men that were in the ring with
him. Not only did he say he could have done this without them, he said he did do it without them.
Yeah, he did. And just sort of giving a what on the surface is also a very typical Seth Rollins heel-esque promo, you know, and him in his sort of blind arrogance, then being like, but I see the future and these, you know, they're, you know, Braun and Bronson are the, you know, are my vision of the future and I have the Oracle and all this. Like that then accompanied by Braun pretty much running roughshod through Raw, like wiping out, you know, Jey Uso, wiping out Jimmy, getting after everybody and their brother throughout the show. If you were watching the show and not see and just sort of knew anything about wrestling, it really did feel like they were setting up something that was going to happen. And so when it played out, and then the other part of it that I liked was that Paul Heyman appeared surprised,
yes,
by the whole thing. And that Heyman didn't, like, you know, he wasn't like, I'm in on it the whole time, and had his evil Paul Heyman grin. He had the what are you doing grin face, and then did the cowardly Heyman thing where with either saving his own skin or backing Seth, he very much then jumped with Braun Breaker to keep himself preserved, to preserve himself.
Right.
And whether he turns back to help Seth at any point, who knows? It doesn't really matter.
Turning back to help Seth would be interesting. Turning towards Punk would be interesting as well, because they have the history.
Yep.
We'll get there in a minute. We'll get there. Here's one of the things that I love, and I'm literally, I'm almost all, you know, tabbing to a different screen to get back to your video, but I can't do that. I'm like, sorry, oh, I'm
I can do screen. This.
No, you're okay.
I just,
you're
good. I'm trying to protect our signal, Greg.
You are.
I'm doing everything I can to protect our signal.
As the daughter would say, and Miranda used to say, you're doing great, sweetie. So one of the funny things as an aside that I love watching is everybody who says they knew it was coming, right? You know, oh, I knew this was going to happen. You could just tell. Like, it's so easy when something airs at 5 a.m., between 5 a.m. and 8 a.m., and you see it after the fact, to say you knew it was coming. Like, I don't think anybody knew this was coming. Being a hindsight, I watched Raw looking for all the clues, right? Like, but I can't tell you that I'm self-aware enough to know that had I watched Raw not knowing, had I gotten up at 5 a.m. and watched Raw, I would not have predicted that they were going to turn on this night. I would have thought they were sowing more seeds of arrogance for Seth Rollins for a turn down the road. I would, which they had already been doing. So, but the benefit of, you know, spoilers, we all knew what was going to happen. I did like, so when Paul Heyman went with Brock Lesnar back in like, I don't know, several years ago, 2022, I don't remember the year, but at the Royal Rumble, it was Brock Lesnar and it was Roman Reigns, and you know, Roman was the one who extended the hand to Heyman to let Heyman come back over to the Bloodline after Heyman had gone to Brock. It wasn't Heyman's decision, and I love that. It wasn't his grand plan. It was Roman's doing, and Roman letting his wise man back in. I really enjoyed, of course, we had the random Brock Lesnar pairing with Paul Heyman at WrestlePalooza that Cody Rhodes then questioned later in a promo, whether or not he was back to being the advocate. And then you had, of course, what just happened here. I love that Braun Breaker does it and Bronson Reed's not in on it. Paul Heyman's not in on it. Nobody's in on it. And the conversation with Bronson Reed was great. And that's the great thing about the technology we have now with the camera, so they can pick it up without somebody having to be at a microphone. That whole, like, you're with me or not, you have to make the decision right now. And then you see kind of Bronson Reed going back and forth. And then when he makes a decision and he goes after Seth Rollins, like that. And the crowd fucking loved it, which I don't know if that was the reaction WWE wanted, but the crowd also just came off of loving Dominic Mysterio against one of their most popular babyfaces in Penta. So crowd's going to do what crowd's going to do. It's Australia. 80% of the crowd was also wearing John Cena merchandise. So I hope he's still getting a cut of that. I'm sure he is. It's John Cena. But
I mean, they also sang Cult of Personality. during
a lot of things. Yeah.
You know, during the triple threat. So like they were going to do whatever they want. Like you said, yeah. They're just going to do whatever they wanted.
And good for them. We'll talk about crowds later. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. And then of course, Heyman basically being bullied into it. Like, cause Braun Breaker was basically like, either you're doing this or you're getting your ass kicked. And so Heyman of course went along. I do kind of wonder if over the next few weeks, if we don't see Heyman not fully on board and wondering what's going to happen and where this goes with Heyman. So assuming that Seth is injured and assuming that, you know, this is being done because Seth can't defend the championship because they sell, cause okay. CM Punk's the number one contender, but yet Raw ends with Braun Breaker holding the title up high. To me, correct. I don't feel like we're setting up a triple threat between CM Punk, Seth Rollins, and Braun Breaker, although maybe we are. If Seth really does have to go away and we're vacating the title, then I'd much rather we put it on Braun Breaker than CM Punk at this point. I know it seems soon for Braun Breaker. He's, what, 27? That's a year older than John Cena when John Cena started.
Right.
You know, and so... He didn't win the title in his first year either, but it's.
And again, like, it's going to work.
I think it's going to work, yeah.
Because the crowd, like, it's not just in Australia. Like, people can dismissive of Australia. But again, I saw that dude in Springfield, which Springfield is definitely what you would call a babyface territory.
Right.
But boy, were they barking.
Of course, because it's easy. It's easy to bark. It's easy.
And it's fun. And the dude's intensity does call back, even though he's quote unquote a bad guy. It brings back people like the Ultimate Warrior. It brings back memories of Goldberg. And he's better than the Ultimate Warrior. He's probably better than Goldberg.
I would say he's definitely better than Goldberg.
Like that type of persona is exciting to watch, even when it's a bad guy.
Yeah.
I think
he's better
at that. And that's why it's going to work.
Like when they turned him heel in NXT, it was just like, yeah, this is so much better. Like I think it works better with him as a bad guy.
Did you see Scott Steiner's post?
Yes, I did see Scott Steiner's post and I did enjoy it. If there was ever a time to change his name to Steiner, it's now. If you don't do it now, you're never going to do it. And they're probably never going to do it. And that's fine. He could be Braun Breaker forever. And it's totally fine. I still hate over the past 6 months. One of the things that they have done is completely neutered his spear. Like it's not nearly as amazing looking. It probably really was hurting people. And so that's probably why they did it. Cause the spear now is like below Roman, below Edge, maybe below Edge, but below certain spears when he literally had the best spear for a long time. And now it's just like this diving shoulder and not the actual full on tackle. Although we hit the full spear on Seth and I did appreciate that.
But okay. Seth was wearing like one of those attack dog suits.
Right.
Which you can get away with. This is a great thing. Cause everybody was talking about, you know, what Seth was wearing as well as like, they were trying to protect him from the injury. And that may be true. But the great thing about Seth Rollins is you can wear ridiculous shit that that looks like a hazmat dog, attack dog protection suit. And even if he isn't injured, you're not going to bat an eye because Seth Rollins wears ridiculous shit to the ring. Yeah. But if he was indeed a little more protected underneath that, and I kind of like he was moving around a little different. Like,
well, he definitely, the way he protected himself for the splash was favoring the arm. So, if he's selling or if it's real, whatever. But
it wouldn't have been beyond the realm of possibility that you could do something like that uniquely with Seth because of his fashion sense and what he does when he wears on his way to the ring.
One thing about his attire that I noticed, again, the benefit of having spoilers.
Hindsight.
He was not wearing the Crown Jewel Championship during the end promo, but was wearing it during the opening promo. That jumped. I kept looking. Is he wearing the title? Is he going to be holding the title when he gets speared? He definitely was favoring the arm when he protected himself for the splash. And one thing that a lot of people have missed out and they've glossed over And so I encourage you, loyal listener, to go back and listen to Seth Rollins' opening promo. He says he beat Cody Rhodes on his own with one arm. And a lot of people have missed that. You obviously caught it because you just, you know, were saying it as I was saying it. So you knew. But he does say he did it with one arm. Okay. So now it's time for me to do what I always do, right? Put on the booking hat. And because I don't know if you know this, but Greg's a promoter. And he books wrestling.
Fantasy booking.
It is. It's. I don't call it fantasy booking. I call it more like prediction. Patrick goes off for this, so I don't see him rolling his eyes. That's fine.
I just don't. It's the same. This is Patrick O'Dowd. I do this at Bandwagon Nerds all the time too, because they like we can't help ourselves. I have very much entered a world now these days where I much prefer just to
enjoy it,
see what story is told to me. But go ahead. You put on your booker's hat.
No, and I don't need you to book anything. I just need you to
respond I'm
to
good because I'm not gonna.
No, you don't have to. So again, here's the what Greg would do scenario, right? Assuming Seth Rollins is hurt and assuming that he is not going to be world heavyweight champion much longer. You don't have Bron Breakker hold up the title for nothing. You just don't, okay? CM Punk is a number one contender. I would not just go CM Punk versus Bron Breakker. Because I think that's a money-making match that you can do down the road. Now, remember, Raw is in Boston at the TD Bank, or whatever it's called nowadays, and Madison Square Garden, both in the month of November, right? There's John Cena's last two TV appearances, and then he has Survivor Series, and then he has, of course, his retirement in December. Those are big Raws, especially Madison Square Garden, but so is the Garden in Boston. I think on one of those two, you crown your new World Heavyweight Champion. I don't think you wait for Survivor Series. I think you do it on TV or Netflix, whatever you want to call it now. Because again, you're getting a whole hell of a lot of money from Netflix. So they had Gunther beat Jey Uso for the world title on Netflix back in June or July. Again, that was here in Phoenix. Maybe Saturday didn't go. But so I would do that. I would make it a four-way. And so here's my four-way. I would not just do Jey Uso and LA Knight, because we've seen that so many times. Jey Uso, LA Knight, CM Punk, all of that. Like, love you guys and whatever, but it just doesn't work for me, brother. So here's the, I would make it a four-way, and I would let people qualify. I'd have Braun maybe beat Jey Uso or LA Knight. The other two guys I would have qualify. Initially, I had Dominic Mysterio in the match. But
no,
yeah, exactly. He doesn't even have to take the fall. Just the tease that he could potentially be world heavyweight champion, I think, is a lot.
Holding three belts,
right? I would actually put Finn Balor in the match, because it's Finn Balor. He will deliver. He deserves whatever main event spot he can be given at any time. Hell, if there wasn't this angle with Bron Breakker going on, I would put the title on Finn Balor. But that's neither here nor there. So you got Bron Breakker. I would have Bron Breakker somehow qualify. CM Punk's already number one contenders. You don't make him qualify. Finn Balor qualifies. My fourth guy would be Penta, the aforementioned Penta. Not because he's going to win, but to put him in that position, right? He's
right.
Over. He's got the best entrance in the entire company. I just think you will give him that spotlight. You know the match is going to be long. Maybe you even go elimination match, although I don't think they do. Because it's a fatal four-way. Now, it's a fatal four-way. That means Bronson Reed can get involved. That means Jey Uso can get involved. That means you can do whatever you want, right? I would do it at Raw, either in Madison Square Garden in Boston. And I would have Bronson Reed win the title. Or, I mean, I'd have Bron Breakker win the title. Because why not? There's enough strength throughout the entire roster that if Bron Breakker as World Heavyweight Champion fails, you've got so much else. You can go to Punk. You can go to Jey Uso. You can go to almost anybody that you want to go to. You can go to LA Knight and finally give him the opportunity to carry it. If the Bron Breakker experiment doesn't work out, I think it's going to work out though. Like that's my thing.
Yeah, I do.
And if this guy truly is the next big thing in the company, then let's do that. So that's who I would put in the four-way, Patrick O'Dowd. Anybody, anything you would do differently? Does that four-way suck? Do you think it's fine?
I don't think that four-way sucks. I think if the only – I like your idea of Penta because we keep hearing this dude's a huge deal, and rightfully so. Like, I'm not saying that he's not. You know, if you didn't do Finn Balor, there's plenty of other, like –
yeah,
talents that like you could argue AJ.
Yeah, you're right.
Because and AJ kind of gives you the same thing that Finn gives you in the ring, like you know what he's going to bring, and his momentum. Like the funny thing about what you see people and how their brain works is they'll look at the John Cena AJ Styles matches like that's something that should continue to propel AJ, and that's just not what they're doing with AJ. But in this case, the argument can be made. Look at this awesome match that, you know, we just had. He came so close to defeating John Cena. He deserves a shot. It is official. Finn Balor is another right? really, really qualifies.
That's fine too.
Yeah. Or have AJ and Finn wrestle in the qualifying match.
Right. Cause why not do that?
Unlock that one for the 900th time.
Right. Poor Finn Balor. Would be losing that. Plus AJ and Dragon Lee are probably about to win the tag titles.
Right.
So and I got this affinity for Finn Balor and think that he still could have a run at the top. Although I think I'm that number of people who agree with me is shrinking. And I acknowledge that. I said it again. I feel like this is Pee Wee's Playhouse now. Whenever I say certain
right.
things.
Right.
Acknowledge me.
When I'm going to a soundbite, Patrick Goodell takes the opportunity to go off camera and preserve his internet connection. So that's kind of my thinking. Here's my wild card in all of this. In the title match, in the Heyman situation, in the breakup, everything. My wild card is Brock Lesnar. He had been rumored for War Games already to be part of the Visions team because of his connection with Paul Heyman and all of that. Heyman seems very unsure of what's going on, at least based on Raw. Side note, I love that this was after the credits on Raw. Like, that always gets me.
It was very clever. Clever, but well done.
First time they ever did that, of course, was when Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa broke up on NXT. And that will still always be one of the best. But I did love how they did it after the credits. I can't help but wonder if maybe this brings Heyman and Lesnar back together in the end. To the point where maybe it even, depending on Rollins' situation, because a lot of people I think right now would assume, again, going with the Rollins is injured idea. I think people, everyone's right. assuming now we're going to get Braun Breaker and Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, right? Rollins returns, wins the Rumble, whatever you do. But if that can't happen, if Rollins can't come back yet, why not do Braun Breaker and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania? Especially if Heyman is on the side of Braun Breaker and we have something else going on. Or maybe he's just part of their little faction. I don't know. I just can't shake the idea that Heyman and Lesnar ain't done yet after WrestlePalooza right. and where we are with Brock Lesnar. So,
And depending on, Brock Lesnar is very much the break glass in case of emergency talent.
Yeah, he's the new Undertaker, right? He's the Undertaker schedule. Right. He's all of that. So, but again, at the end of the day, Patrick O'Dowd, if Rollins is really hurt, even if Rollins isn't really hurt, you've done the breakup. Let's strap the rocket to Braun Breaker. That's
right.
overarching thought that I have in all of this, which they might be doing already because, and again, he held the title up and he was the impetus for the breakup.
Not right. Paul Heyman. It was the Braun Breaker show.
Exactly.
Like, and again, you know, we talked about this. I didn't see it being the Braun Breaker was going to be the one to break it up. I just felt like seeds were planted pretty strongly. And like Seth's promo was really strong. Laying it on. And that to me is like, why would like, that's where I was.
But it fits his personality. And then later in the show, he's telling him how proud he is of all of them and everything else.
Right.
Not knowing that Braun Breaker was the one who did it. I'm proud of myself for saying Braun Breaker and not Bronson Reed or Braun Strowman right there. But because Braun Breaker was the one to do it, or because I've only seen the picture, so I didn't know Braun Breaker did it. I'm watching, waiting for Heyman to give the signal.
Right. And that's the thing is you don't see in that backstage segment that you're looking at too. It's not there.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing there. Like, cause you know, the WWE does this all the time. This is, you know, and I don't know if this is more of a Vince era thing or if kept this thing going, where somebody would make the speech and then like walk out of the room out of and frame. Then
you get the reactions of everyone.
And then you get the faces. They didn't do that. None of that. There was no eyeball on each other.
You had some of the facial reactions during Seth's promo.
But he even asked, he was like, do the twitch.
Right. But even early, even when like, when Seth's like, I didn't need anybody, you can kind of see Bronson Reed be like, you didn't need anybody. Like that's normal. That all fits Seth Rollins' character, even without the turn taking place.
Right.
So that's why I thought we were where we were. So, all right. Braun Breaker should win the heavyweight championship. That's going to take us to commercial break number two, because I'll put a commercial break in before the show opening. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. We will come back on the other side, and we're going to talk a little bit of TNA. So we'll talk some TNA. I didn't see Bound for Glory, but we don't need to have seen Bound for Glory to talk about what I want to talk about with TNA. So we'll be right back after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Awesome!
I came to...
Okay.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
Okay.
We are back. Part two of this week's program. I didn't say the date at the beginning. It is Tuesday, the 14th of October in the year 2025. I mean, obviously, you've got it timestamped already. You know what we're talking about. We were talking about Braun Breaker breaking up with Seth Rollins. And we briefly mentioned, of course, WWE Crown Jewel in Perth, Australia. By the way, Patrick, get out to go back. We said Seth Rollins should win. He did. We said Stephanie Vaquer should win. She did. We knew that Rhea Ripley and Asuka, or Rhea Ripley and Io Sky, were going to win. We said Roman was going to win, but I think we said that Bronson Reed should win. And he did.
Yeah.
And I don't remember where, if we both came in on AJ Styles should win and John Cena will win, or if one of us said the opposite.
I think if I remember correctly, I think you said Cena, I said AJ.
Yeah. LOL, Cena wins. I saw an interesting point. If the rumors are to be believed, and he's not wrestling on either of those Raws, which I don't believe, but that he's going to wrestle Dominic Mysterio at Survivor Series and then his final match against whoever, Gunther. I still think it should be Braun Breaker, especially now. That might have been his last ever victory in WWE, which is very, very interesting. I did like the Bray Wyatt move. What is interesting about the Bray Wyatt move that I don't know, maybe people have mentioned it. He caught AJ and it looked like he was going to hit a rock bottom. And then he turned towards the camera and turned it into Sister Abigail. And I'm like, was that a little thing? Was he doing I'm not going to hit the rock bottom because I'm acknowledging all these people, because it's very easy to assume that like the whole heel turn was the Rock's fault and whatever. So,
it was very, I didn't, obviously, because of the stupid DirecTV stream versus DirecTV dish piece of it, I still don't have access to them. So I saw highlights.
I feel like with the highlights, we've seen the whole match, but yeah.
Right.
So, Patrick froze again, so he's gonna have to go off stream. The Sister Abigail thing. Oh, you're back. The Sister Abigail thing I thought was cool.
Where did I go away?
You froze. Like, I can show you what you looked like. I don't remember what you were saying. You were talking about
the TV.
And how you
I was talking about how my favorite tributes were done by AJ and were for Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. Yes.
And there was one when people think the inverted DDT was for Sting, but AJ's been doing that for a long time. So who knows? Right. But I did love the Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian.
He hit Angel's wings, damn it. Like,
well, he also did the Coquina clutch, which he doesn't normally do.
Yes.
That was supposedly for Samoa Joe. So, I love that. I thought that it was great that he did that. Frankie Kazarian acknowledged it on TV. So, or on social media, which I thought was great. But when the Sister Abigail was hit, I almost wish he didn't even go for the pin. Obviously, all these moves are getting kicked out of, but that is what it is. Because the crowd obviously breaks into the Fireflies and does all that. And to see Cena actually get emotional like that was kind of cool. You know, Bray Wyatt had a profound impact on a lot of people. And to see that called back to, I really appreciate it as well. Because that wasn't fake emotion. Like, you can just tell. And John Cena's not going to fake emotion at this point in his retirement run anyway.
Not at all.
So I thought that was really cool. But I digress. Although, you know, TNA, AJ Styles, of course, he appeared at like Slammiversary or whatever the event was when Leon Slater won the X Division Championship. Bound for Glory was on Sunday. TNA Bound for Glory was in Lowell, Massachusetts, and it drew a crowd of over 7,700 people. And it's TNA's largest audience, largest North American audience. And there's two things that I bring up about it, and I'll start with the dumb one. Everyone's already comparing that to the crowds that AEW is drawing.
Stop it.
TNA is the true number two and all of that kind of stuff. And here's the issue that I have, again, with wrestling fans, because this is what we do. They're comparing it to Collision tapings that might have 2,000 people or 1,200 people. They're comparing it to Collision tapings. They're not comparing it to pay-per-views. By the way, All Out drew 12,000 people. So right. We're not talking about, you know, Forbidden Door, which is pay-per-view before that, drew 18,000 people. And that was in London, England, but still. All In, of course, drew 20,000 in a stadium, 23,000 now. Double or Nothing, going back to that here in Phoenix, 8,200 people. Dynasty, 7,900 people. So you cannot compare Revolution, 12,000 people. So again, we can't make these comparisons that people are wanting to make because they think that it's cool. They think that it's, you know, fun to do or whatever. Compare like to like, right? Don't come, you know, if you want to compare TNA's TV tapings, with some of which are 1,000 people and less, then that you can compare those to AEW's tapings. I do think they're becoming a lot closer. And I think the gap is getting smaller.
But they have help.
Yes.
I think that's the important thing to point out. And not that you weren't going to do that. But
that was part two. Trust me, that was part two.
Oh, because they are buoyed by and I don't think in a bad way at all. Like, honestly, like from what I have observed, and I really only watched the TNA half of this, if I watch any of it all, because I still record Impact. Like, I still record Impact every week. I don't watch it every week. But I still record it. This company has been buoyed so much by the addition of NXT. And the integration of these two companies were, you know, having talents cross over and onto both programs. And, you know, and they finally did some level of we can't call it an invasion anymore or something. Like, I can't remember, like something pissed
they
off. Called
it, yeah, somebody. They pissed off people in, I don't remember the country. I'm sorry.
Gaza.
Oh, no, it was somewhere else. But yeah, no. The invasion, they didn't like the invasion name. And that's fine. Whatever. I'm
but, down with that. But this has been surprisingly well done by both companies. It has been surprisingly, in my opinion, well handled, because I don't think our worst fears for TNA as a TNA fan have come to fruition. That being that NXT talent was just going to always run roughshod over TNA talent in this sort of crossover thing, and that the talent that would show up on TNA program was always going to be their lesser, not exciting talent. It, like that TNA was going to become an NXT for NXT. Like that was the thought process. People said that. I don't feel like it's gone that way at all. And I think it has done great for TNA. And I think that's why they got the house that they got in Boston.
I agree. I agree 100%. I saw somebody say if they didn't run the Hardys versus the Dudleys, they wouldn't have gotten that house.
Bullshit.
I can't buy that at all. And whatever. That is what it is. But no, I do believe that the partnership with NXT has been fruitful. And look, they didn't draw any of that shit when they were partnered up with AEW. So,
no,
and I don't want to make this about that.
But to be fair and to be honest, think about what that partnership was and who it truly benefited. Right.
Of course, it was like all AEW.
Kenny Omega making a fucking joke and Don Callis making a fucking joke of TNA talent all the way through. Like, that does nobody any
literally
good except for egos.
Didn't let Rich Swann in the building when he was TNA World Champion. Rich right. Swann's career has never recovered from that angle.
Right.
Ever.
That's bull. Yeah. So.
Yeah. It's he's still, I think he's hanging on different places. I don't care. But, it's just, yeah, they never recovered from that. It was, again, remember, Kenny Omega beat Rich Swann for the TNA World title, and Christian had to win it back from Kenny Omega on Dynamite and then lose it to Josh Alexander. They had an AEW wrestler win it off of Kenny Omega and then lose it to a TNA wrestler. We couldn't even let Josh Alexander win the title off of Kenny Omega. And again, right. They changed the belt from red to black so that Kenny could have all of these matching belts as the belt collector. And they literally brought the TNA world champion was carrying around two titles, two physical belts, just so Kenny could hold those two belts. Cause he was doing his belt collector gimmick at the time.
If you want to go back to our opinions on belt collector gimmicks, catch a couple months ago. We talked about it in depth.
Yes, we did. We sure did. So that's that, but no, to go into part two, I believe, yeah, the relationship with WWE is very beneficial for TNA. Proof by the 7,700, the largest North American crowd in company history. Because they drew some big crowds and they've gone over to London and the UK before, as does everybody, because right. It's the UK. And don't get me started on the international crowds only act like this because they only get these shows once a year. You obviously don't watch soccer or any other international sport because those crowds right. Get those games all the time and still act like this. It's a cultural thing, not a we don't ever get wrestling thing. Their fans are truly better than ours, and that's fine. Their food's also better, so whatever. But for everything that has gone on, this obviously was WWE's help, and they did that. I think WWE helped in more ways than people realize. If you look at the picture that TNA posted of how this went down, look at the entrance. That looks like it was literally built by WWE. Like it had the video boards off to the side. They walked out, then still came down the middle. Like that looked like one of those super episodes of SmackDown where Chicago sold out. And so we have to, you know, not use the big stage, not use a stage at all. That's what that looked like to me. Like it reminded me of WWE TV and what they do sometimes when they don't have a stage. I think WWE may even be helping them with production, or at least did for Bound for Glory.
Yeah, I can see that.
Even the highlights I saw, it just looked different than prior highlights that I've seen from TNA, which tells me either, yes, they helped them out, or B, maybe there is more of a financial relationship involved in this thing than we realize. I don't know. And if there is, I'm not complaining because it's been beneficial for everybody. If TNA ends up a brand of WWE and TKO, I'm not upset about it. They already took Joe Hendry. They've already taken Jordan Grace. Like it's okay.
And here's the other thing to kind of put a little bit of my own piggyback on this. They've allowed TNA programming. Like if you watch an episode of Impact, it is still Impact.
Of course.
It is still booked like Impact. It is not done in a way to where I'm sitting there being like, well, this is just a WWE So this isn't like when WWE took over ECW, put on an ECW right. show, and you could clearly see that it was, I lost my phone call and then came back. But
you're fine.
But you can clearly see, like when ECW, when that first ECW episode hit and, you know, they were being stupid with it because it was like Vince McMahon's ECW. Like they're not doing that right. with TNA.
No, not at all.
And that's a major difference than some of these things that people were worried about, you know, and I don't know. I think this would work if they eventually do get owned by TKO and
Yeah, oh, I think it would work. I think it would work too.
If they let them continue to have that creative freedom to do what they're doing.
And I think they would. I mean, Shawn Michaels has that creative freedom in NXT, and I think that they would continue to have it. Interestingly enough, they had the Call Your Shot Gauntlet, which of course has 20 competitors. Not a single NXT wrestler in the Call Your Shot Gauntlet. Not a single one. And here's crazy. Wes Lee, just released by WWE recently, easily can come back and be one of the Rascals again. Like, that's going to happen. Like, it's, I know they have Myron Reed there now, and so they're already at three, but like, yeah, Desmond, whatever his name was. I can't even remember what his name was in the Rascals now. That's it, you know, cause he's more in the whole WB thing, but, yeah, like I can't even Desmond Xavier. There we go. I think he'll be back in TNA sooner rather than later now that he's been released by WWE. And it stinks that he was released by WWE. I really liked Wesley, but it is what it is. What can you do? If it goes the route of getting absorbed by WWE, I do think they see value in it, obviously, because of the way they've done the relationship and the way they've helped it. It has benefited NXT. Dark State was on Bound for Glory, as was, of course, what do you call it? Javon Evans was part of Bound for Glory. Of course, the Hardys are the NXT Tag Team Champions still. Kalani Jordan, because she was defending the Women's Knockouts Championship. And then, of course, Trick Williams was in the main event, putting over Mike Santana. So it all boils down. Like, TNA came out the big winners in the end. Yes, you still have Kalani Jordan holding the Knockouts Championship, but, like, there's TNA wrestlers holding the NXT Tag Team titles now. So, It's all there, and obviously the relationship's going to continue to go on. So, and from what I understand, Matt Cardona was on NXT tonight as Zach.
He was.
I'm interested to see that.
Woo, woo, woo.
Good for him. Good for him reprising that character. He love it. I will say this. I do think TNA is still number three. I'm not going to say they're number two because AEW has the TV deal. Like, you can't get around it. They're on TBS twice a week. Like, even if they only draw 500,000, even if they lose to NXT in the ratings, ain't nobody else doing that besides them.
Right.
So,
and they have the HBO Max piece of it, too, that is tied in there. Right. Well.
Now, if TNA got a comparable TV deal and started, even if it was the CW, and started pulling in numbers like NXT and AEW does, then I think you can make the argument for number two being TNA. Right. But until they have a comparable TV deal, I can't just say that their set pay-per-view crowd of almost 8,000 people suddenly makes them number two. Even if I like them better, we always want the thing we like to be the best, right? That's what we do. We've been talking about it on these programs for years. Objectively, AEW still number two, potentially in the world. Either maybe number three behind New Japan. I don't know enough about New Japan's metrics to say, but either way, well, and Takeshita just won the title. So hopefully that turns things around for them. Not that Zack Sabre Jr. was a bad champion, but I think he could be a good champion for them. So, I still think they should sign Killer Cross, Karrion Cross, and let him go crazy, but who knows what's going on there. But now I think that TNA, if they had a TV deal, would then be in the argument for number two once we saw some results. And even that, they probably have to be on TV for at least a year to really get good results. And even then, who the hell knows? Because we've changed how we're measuring TV, rating, changed whatever. At this point, I don't know that the ratings matter so much as the distribution matters. So
they don't. Sorry, this is off topic because you're not on the social medias very much
Twitter,
anymore. Yeah,
not the Twitter.
But there's a dude who posted something quite interesting in detail as to what matters right now when it comes to like television. And it was in a response to like our friend Dave Meltzer. I only saw it because Eric Bischoff retweeted it. Cause you know, Eric loves any opportunity to retweet something like that, but it's very interesting and illuminating. If I can find it, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Because I was very, I don't know if the guy's legit or not. So, you know, like anything with the internet, you know, be careful there.
Right.
But But it was a very, it was just, it was very, very interesting.
Sounds like it. Sounds like something I want
take to take on what matters with TV. So.
Yeah, I want to check that out. I'll go find it. I'll go to Bischoff's Twitter and find it because he doesn't tweet it. It'll be easy to find on Bischoff's Twitter. So that will be fine. But yeah, I'm interested to see because I do think they'll come close with that distribution. And I think the more and more we have with WWE, I think we can get there for them, to be honest with you. Like, I think we can get there for them in terms of their distribution and what they could potentially do. So I am on board, and I think maybe we could see some stuff for them. So good for TNA and good for Mike Santana to be the top guy in a company. Because when he showed up in NXT and started doing stuff, I was like, ooh, they're going to gobble him up as soon as they can because he's way over and has WWE written all over him. And I don't know the length of his contract or whatever, but good for TNA pulling that trigger. Joe Hendry still had like the shortest, dumbest title reign in TNA. But again, that was probably
that's probably for the best.
It really is. Like I think he's being used perfectly in WWE right now. Like someone says his name and he appears to me, that works. So, yeah, it might be like, oh, he's a comedy act or whatever, but like, look how long R-Truth's been doing this, man. Like seriously,
right.
For Joe Hendry to make money and have fun and do whatever, he'll get his runs. He literally was in the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania this year. Like he'll be fine.
Right.
So, both are surprises and it worked both times. So we'll see that. Also, just a quick going back to Raw and the storytelling, and you can criticize WWE, whatever. The whole Asuka, Kabuki Warriors, Io Sky, that's a hell of a story that they're telling.
That's a story of an abusive relationship.
We always like to do the whole cinema. That's cinema. Like when Asuka slapped Kairi Sane, I mean, abusive, whatever. It's a TV show. I thought it was fucking brilliant. I really did.
That's the story we're telling is, you know,
absolutely.
Asuka is the abuser.
I would not be upset if it ended with Asuka being the one to like challenge Stephanie Vaquer at WrestleMania for the women's title.
Right. I think that's the other thing I really like about this right now is it's involving four very talented women in the company without the belt having any piece of it at all.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with that. I meant to ask this, and this is, I would ask this. This is not a body shame. Has Rhea trimmed down a little bit?
I don't know if she's trimmed down or if just the difference between Rhea in street clothes and Rhea in wrestling.
Well, like, I was like, did she, because maybe it was like a change in workout. She just looks a little less bulky.
Yeah.
She's like a little less muscly.
I think she
than what she was.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Believe me, not judging her physique by any stretch of the imagination. She's still an imposing woman.
She did go home for a little bit to Australia, and I've done some research. Like, and I'm on this kick right now, even at home. Like, we are now only buying pasta that's made in Italy in our house. It's kind of funny, because Italians can eat pasta every single day, and their obesity rate is far below ours here in America. And we're told to eat pasta to limit pasta and that sort of thing. Like, and I've heard all about how the food in Australia and about how they're all in amazing shape and everything. Like, food is a big thing. And she spent a lot more time at home this year doing media and doing lots of other things. So that could also be part of it is the food she's eating. Coupled with
I just thought maybe it was a different approach to workout.
It could be. It could be because longevity, like she's a top star. Like, she's their biggest women star right now. Along with Becky Lynch, if she's suddenly making a shift and focusing on career longevity, more power to her. Like, you know, it is what it is. It hasn't affected how over she is. I mean, obviously she's going to be that over in Australia. We should have seen Bronson Reed winning in Australia coming, but we all knew they were going to win in Australia because it's Rhea Ripley. I mean, she's the only women's main event Triple H has had on a PLE since taking over was Rhea Ripley in Australia last year at the Elimination Chamber. So, it's she's still a megastar, but I do love, like you were saying, this is the top level women's storyline without a title being involved. And I have complained about that over and over and over again, that they weren't doing that for the women. And now they are. And it's one of the better stories in the company and they're doing it. And look what, I mean, right now they're intersecting with Stephanie Vaquera a little bit, but what they're doing with Raquel Rodriguez and Roxanne Perez ever since Liv Morgan left, like when Liv Morgan comes back, Raquel and Roxanne are at a higher level than when Liv left. Like that's, they are doing better by the women slowly. And the whole Bayley Lyra Valkyria storyline is also fantastic. Like Lyra again, having to slap somebody, but basically making Bayley freak out so they could win the match. Also yep. great. Like they're doing really good stuff right now with the women that doesn't involve a championship, at least on Raw. I can't say the same for SmackDown. But it's okay. Everything comes around. Supposedly they're hiring new writers for SmackDown and because they realize that they need to do better. I don't know. I'm not getting into all of that, but good shit all around. Good for TNA. Good for Bron Breakker. There's a lot of good going on right now in wrestling, and I'm glad that we had a chance to focus on it today. So, and hell, we've been podcasting for an hour and 9 minutes since I pressed record.
Wow.
Including the break that we took to get water and use the restroom. So, you loyal listener, thank you for listening to today's edition of the Greg DeMarco Show. Go follow Patrick O'Dowd on Twitter, at Wrestling Realist. Say it with me, everybody. It's WrestlingRealist. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in realist. Like there is one in Patrick for the Wrestling Realist, Patrick O'Dowd. You can follow me if you want to on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook where you probably see a little bit more, but I don't post anything anywhere right now except for sharing IZW stuff. At Greg DeMarco 44. I'll get back into posting. I'm just busy. I got a kid in college and another one getting ready to go to college. Like life's busy right now. Go follow ChairShot at ChairShot Media. Again, I talked about it before. For all things ChairShot.com, always use your head.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And Patrick O'Dowd, if nothing happens between now and next Tuesday, we might podcast for 3 straight weeks.
Well.
I thought you said well, and you were like going to be like, well, guess what? I have something next week. But yeah, we still got 7 days before we get there. So we got to see what happens. But yeah, could be 3 straight weeks of the Greg DeMarco Show with Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd. So we appreciate it. 3 weeks, everybody. Congratulate us.
Exactly. No pop.
Shows like DWI podcast that never miss a beat are like laughing at us right now. But hey, man. We do our best.
Bandwagon Nerds hasn't missed an episode forever.
Sure has. I think you only missed like one since you started. Or maybe never missed an episode. I don't even know.
We've never missed an episode. We've come close. We've had a couple of shows with only two cast members. Like this coming Sunday will be myself and Tunney.
Okay.
More than likely as a couple of our other regulars have computer issues. They're not working with our system. So
it happens. It happens. So anyway, we appreciate you guys listening. Come back next week for more, hopefully positive things about pro wrestling. But until we get there, for Patrick O'Dowd, I am Greg DeMarco. And remember, always use your head. We'll just play this song out since we didn't do it this week.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. The clock is ticking and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes and we're...
Acknowledge me.